turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Galatians chapter 3. And we've talked a lot recently. We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts He's given us and evidence, you know, what does Jesus look like? And do we look like Him? I understand He made a visit here a couple weeks ago. Oh, wait, that's right, it was me. But I thought, as I've been studying those things, it really helps me, luckily, take an internal look at myself and say, how well am I doing? That's hard to do sometimes. Stand in front of a full-length mirror and sometimes you're like, this has got to be a circus mirror making me all distorted. I don't really look like that, do I? But if we take a good, honest look, sometimes we do. And sometimes it's what other people see, but maybe we're looking in the circus mirror and we see a different image of ourselves that's better than what we really are, or that's worse than what we really are. And so we really have to be careful. We have to get in God's Word, and that's a standard. Man, as we sang these songs today, and it talked about the truth, and we're going to get into that in just a minute here. But as we talked about the truth, I love those things. He'll guide us and lead us to the truth. We have to get in this to learn and discover what is the truth. This is our measuring stick. Amen? All right. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I think that was pretty good, but I'm not sure. I'm going to try it again just in case. I'm going to try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, good. I heard you, Cindy. I didn't hear anyone. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm reading out of a little different version today. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it's just a little different. But one of the things I like about it, I want to be careful how I say this. When we read these preachy or religious words, sometimes we lose understanding. Okay, so this is a little different translation, but Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Oh, foolish Galatians. Remember that line. You'll hear it a few times today. Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of His death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. And Paul's writing this letter, and he's frustrated by it, and he's thinking, what are you guys doing? What are you guys believing in? Why do you do that? And he's writing them. Let's read on verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 and 4 says this. That'll give us our answer, actually. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? He's frustrated because they went in there, they formed this new church, they've got new believers in the Spirit. Once they got there, why are you trying to become perfect by your own human efforts? And he's frustrated to them. He's got to be. Oh, foolish Galatians! We do that so many times as believers. Actually, verse 5 says this. Verse 5 says, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Listen carefully, church. That's a question he's asking. Does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? He says, of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. He doesn't give us these things because of the law. He gives us those things because of our faith and belief in the message that we heard from Jesus Christ. Miracles are still happening today. Do you believe that? But sometimes we get in that same boat that they got in. The Spirit led us to a conversion. The Spirit led us to miracles. The Spirit did these things for us. Whew! I can do the rest through my own efforts. Spirit schmirit, who needs that? We don't recognize what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We do not realize the doors that He opens for us. And praise God, the doors He closes for us. We want doors to be opened for our own pleasure sometimes, and He closes those things. And we wonder, God, what are You doing? What are You doing? Why are You closing these doors? He says, because I've got a better plan. Because I've done this conversion through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will lead you through that. But you're trying your own human efforts to finish My work. His work was finished on the cross. It was perfected on the cross. It didn't say, Adam, go down and finish the work that My Son Jesus Christ has started. But we get in that same boat as the Galatians. And we think we can finish it ourselves. Foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians, all of us thinking that way, that we can do it ourselves. Who bewitched us? Who cast a spell on us? Who distorted our thinking to think that we could finish it on our own and that it's okay? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, is alive and well in the church body today. Amen? All right, we should be excited about that. Today we're going to talk about four areas that the Holy Spirit is still working in the lives of believers. So we're going to flip to a couple different chapters or books. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. And it says, if you love Me. I always remember when He starts out that way. If you love Me, obey My commandments, and I will ask the Father. And He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Did y'all hear that? Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and it doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you. You know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. He will come to us. Now, hold your finger in that spot and then flip over to John chapter 16. Well, you don't have to hold your finger in that spot. Just flip over. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring Me glory by telling you whatever He receives from Me. One of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives today was right there. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. So the first thing, the first area of our life is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us into Jesus' truth. He will guide us into truth. Now, as we read before, it says some of you don't know Him and you don't recognize Him. When He's trying to guide us, we don't recognize Him. We think, oh, it's an undercover cop trying to direct traffic. We don't recognize Him as an authority. But when we pray, to Him and ask Him, open our eyes. Help remove the scales from our eyes that we may see the Holy Spirit and see Him at work in our lives, transforming us, changing us. we've got young people in here, we've got older people in here, and I know there's testimonies about the power, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, and what He can and will do in your life, and what He has done in your lives. It says the Holy Spirit will glorify Him by declaring the truth to us, opening ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit. It helps us know what God is saying to us about our journey with Him. It helps us understand that. As we read this, the truth, it helps with our understanding and comprehension of this. That's sometimes why I like different translations. Like, man, I get past those words that some people may not understand, and it becomes clear when we just write it a little different way without taking away meaning and without taking away the power of that, of God's Word. But it helps them to understand what it's saying. Romans chapter 8. Number 2, the Holy Spirit directs our steps. Number 2, the Holy Spirit directs our steps. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. 9 through 14. And it says this: but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So if you belong to Him, you have that Spirit in you already. Verse 10, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God has raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living with you. Verse 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to. I like that translation a lot better than my Bible, my other Bible, what it says. I like that. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't owe the flesh anything. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. He directs our steps, and He tells us where to go and what to do, and where not to go and what not to do. Remember, several weeks ago we talked about glorifying God. And there's three things. I, Adam Dilley, will glorify God by loving others, by serving others, and doing what my unique gift that He gave me is to or for others. He guides our steps. We went through the fruit of the Spirit a couple weeks ago, and we did that little check and said, are you loving others even when you don't feel like it? Are you okay with a different time frame? Patience that isn't your time frame. We have to do these checks. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with. He's going to deliver us to the truth of Jesus Christ. He's going to direct our steps. Number 3, the Holy Spirit gives us our spiritual gifts. And gave Susie an extra dose of that spiritual gift of playing the piano. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there's a lot in here about the spiritual gifts. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 6. And then we'll read on a little bit after that. But 1 through 6 says this: now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. You know, we sang that song just a few minutes ago, Sweep Me Away. We've got to be careful what we're allowing to sweep us away, right? We have to protect and guard ourselves, our hearts and our minds, and our souls against what is trying to sweep us away. And it says, you know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. The Holy Spirit gives us all gifts, but it's different gifts. And He brings us together for a purpose of serving the church body. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We have different gifts so we can help each other. And it's important for us to understand that and understand sometimes when we want to keep our gifts to ourselves, we're keeping aid and assistance to our brothers and sisters that may need that gift. To one person, it says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, small s in that last spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So number three, the Holy Spirit gives us our spiritual gifts. It's important that we utilize those gifts. They're for the benefit of the entire body of Christ. They help us. They strengthen us. Now, you may not be great in one area, but can you serve in that area until a greater comes along? Can you serve in that area for now? Can you stretch that gift? Can you work that craft or that skill or that ability and become better at it? I dare say, I'm going to look mostly back in that back row, those young people back there. You guys may not have your gifts perfected yet, but He's given those to you. And as you discover those, you start working those. And you start honing those. And you start understanding what those gifts are and how you can use them and how you can be better at those gifts and with those gifts. He also gives that to you as well. But let me help you out. It says a vital part of our spiritual growth and development. Our spiritual growth and development is not only to discover that gift. Discovering it is vital. It's vital to our growth and our development. But utilizing that gift for the body of Christ. Matthew says, what good is a light if you put it under a basket where it can no longer shine? What good is your gift if you're not using it and you're not helping the body of Christ grow and become greater? The church functions best, just like our body, when everything is working in unison and in unity. together, the body of Christ works better. Number four, the Holy Spirit guarantees your hope of heaven. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And I like this one because it's important that we believe in our hope of heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit of God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He purchased us to be His own people. But listen to this. He did this so we could praise and glorify Him." He's marked us as His. When you believed in Christ, think about when you first believed in Jesus Christ. That first time you really understood what that meant. Recently, a couple years back, several years ago, whenever it was, think about that time. And at that moment, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit. That's great. I'll keep it in my back pocket in case I ever need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit app. Yep, let's see. Let's pull. We can't do that. We have to understand He plays a vital role in our life day in and day out, leading us to and through the truth, helping us to understand what that truth is, what it looks like, guiding and directing our steps, giving us our spiritual gifts, and then guaranteeing our hope of heaven, promised to us long ago. Now, outside of Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit, there's this other dude. And he is lurking around, and he's the enemy. The enemy is working very hard, church. Very hard trying to destroy our homes, our families, our churches, our workplaces, our hope. The enemy is trying to destroy our hope. Don't let them. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who has deceived you? Who has taken that truth away from you? You know, I'm thrilled today. We have two baptisms in just a few minutes here coming up. And the Bible says, when you believe, be baptized. And I love that when we baptize people. But if you listen carefully, also I love the other thing that I hear. You hear little kids out through the hallway and through the glass room and across there. And these things are all life in the church. Things that the enemy is trying to destroy. Things the enemy is trying to take away from us. We can't let him. We have to find the truth, identify the truth, let him lead us to the truth. Guide our footsteps. And let's discover our gift and let's use our gift in the body of Christ. Man, I really don't know what my gifts are. Pastor Eric and I can give you a spiritual gifts test. and it'll identify usually your top couple things that the Holy Spirit has given you as a gift. By the way, if it's piano and you've been keeping quiet, please, now's the time to voice that He's given you that gift, especially over the next few weeks. But we'll help you identify what those gifts are. We may not have a need just yet for that. Maybe we do and we don't even know it. But you can help us identify that. I'm going to close with these two scriptures as we prepare for our baptism. Just a minute here. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And I love this scripture. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Amen? And then Galatians chapter 5. We read this a couple weeks ago. Galatians chapter 5, at the very end of that chapter. Chapter 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to do work in us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask You today to be with us. Lord, we ask You just to have Your power come through us. We ask that You show us the work of the Holy Spirit and allow us to be transformed through His power. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship with us.